Welcome to the Coach's Edge podcast. I'm your host, Steve Kramer of Coach's Edge and Kramer Basketball, alongside co-host Anthony Troshak, Charlevoix men's basketball. We're digging into the dribble drive offense. Coach, you had a really good season this past year. You've also contributed a full online course in the Coach's Edge about the dribble drive motion. And I wanted to pick your brain a little bit on, as you've been running this offense for a handful of years, you've run some when you're in Brown City, now in Charlevoix, some things that you've learned, tweaked along the way, and just kind of digging into some of the details, some of the success points, some of the mistakes of the dribble drive. We're going to assume, as we record this episode, coaches know what the dribble drive motion offense is. And so we're going to kind of pick up from assuming that standpoint. And if you're not quite sure, go back. Coach Troshak and I have a handful of different episodes really breaking down the dribble drive and trying to paint a good picture of the offense itself within the Coach's Edge podcast. And you can reach out to us if you have any questions about that. But Coach Tro, tell us a little bit about this past season, because you had a pretty successful year, my friend.
Yeah, we had a solid year. We returned everyone except one from the previous year. But we didn't return any size. We didn't have size last year. We're not going to have size next year. But what we did have, we had solid guard play. And we were athletic and we were quick. And so we kind of knew what our identity was coming into the season. We wanted to pressure. We wanted to really make other teams take tough shots, keep them out of the paint, keep them to one and done, you know, off the glass, and then get out and run. And then we wanted to move the ball and kind of take a small advantage and turn it into a big advantage. And we wanted to get in the paint, as many paint touches as possible on offense. And if we didn't have something, spray it out and, you know, take some outside shots for some open looks. And actually, like, I was looking at stats, because we had our banquet not too long ago, and, you know, some stats that stuck out is we had 64% of our made buckets were assisted, which I was like, I wonder, you know, that seems like a high number to me, you know. And I was like, let me look it up. And I was like, so that's higher than the Pacers, who were number one in the NBA right now. It's also higher than UConn, who just won the national championship. And part of it was dribble drive. Part of it is, you know, getting out and run. But I feel like if you're a coach that, you know, wants to get out and run, those go well together. They mesh really well in terms of dribble drive and flowing into the dribble drive out of transition. You know, we can talk about defense a little too, but this is more of, you know, the dribble drive motion podcast. So overall, you know, that made us tough to guard, because we could put, you know, five guys on the floor that, you know, at any time, usually four could take somebody off the dribble. And there were multiple teams that, you know, one in, you know, I think a couple in particular, that when they played us man in the first quarter or two, they were like, we got to go zone because of our foot speed, ability to shoot, ability to attack. And part of that is, you know, the dribble drive offense and the motion and what we could do out of it. And part of it is having skilled players too. Like, you can't really, and I don't care what you're running, coach. Don't care what you're running. If you don't have skilled players, and what you do as a trainer is extremely important. All the stuff that you have and all the stuff that you've done for us is extremely important. And, you know, you got to have those skilled players in order to, you know, make the correct reads, to be able to finish, to do all those little things. And I think the dribble drive, which is nice, provides like a template for that. And in that template, as a coach, as a player, you can kind of paint your own picture, like, especially depending on how much freedom you give them. But they're able to make reads, and they're really able to play basketball, not necessarily run plays on them. That's how we run it, at least.
Right. You know, I think it's great to have that structure. And then, given the season, given your personnel, given their experience level, you know, you can kind of, you know, a little more wiggle room. Okay, we want a specific action. You can call an action out and you can be up and running. You mentioned 64% assisted, just tremendous. I was going to save these compliments for later, but because you brought it up, this goes perfectly line. So the two teams that I watched the most play this winter inside of our Coach's Edge membership were Charlevoix boys basketball and Hope College men's basketball. Those were the two. I watched you guys play the most, and Coach Mitch at Hope College, other Coach's Edge member, my alma mater, I watched a lot of Hope College men's basketball. Those two teams I watched the most from last year to this year, not knowing those stats, but I wrote down, you guys did such a better job passing the ball this year. It didn't stick, right? The guys were moving the ball, and it wasn't just like one quick pass. There'd be multiple just catch pass, catch swing, right? Drive kick. Instead of drive kick stick, it's drive kick swing, right? Just that extra pass, more, 0.5 second touches. I mean, that's got to lead to, that 64%, that percentage getting a lot better. And then the other thing that stuck out to me as I watched you guys this year was your shot selection was a lot better. I felt like last year there were certain possessions where if you didn't kind of get anything within a couple actions, guys would just take a tough shot. I didn't see that as much this year. Felt like you guys really worked it around, made the defense have to work. Like you said, he got out in transition, but when you were in the half court and teams were playing solid defense, you were patient enough, great shot selection. So props to you. I mean, well done. It's not easy. It's not easy. The credit is obviously to the players. They're the ones out on the court doing those things. But to be able to watch from one year to the next and see that change, like a pretty big change, it was pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie, man. It was pretty cool. Well done.
No, I want to thank you. And it goes, credit goes to you. Credit goes to the assist coaches. Like I said, credit goes to the players. And, it's helpful having them for 2 years kind of running that same system as that was like our second year in terms of our coaches in the program. And, we learned from the first year and we just try to make tweaks. And it's just, understanding what we're looking for, repping it. And players feel a little more comfortable, and then they kind of clicks when they understand how when that ball moves. It's a beautiful thing. When we get out and run and we just play free, it's so much easier when you don't have to go against a set defense and you get out and you transition. Things like that really started to hit home even last summer in terms of what we want to do on the offensive end.
When you're running dribble drive, what are the main things that you really try to focus on as far as like the purpose of your offense?
Ball movement and body movement and paint touches. We want to, and like you mentioned, shot selection. And we, if you haven't listened to shot selection course, we talk about sevens, which is a great shot. It's range, rhythm, and room. So we talk about hunting sevens. And then, playing inside, outside. So those are just a couple things that we emphasize. Some keys like pass to where help came from. Penetrate, pass, pass. So if I penetrate, like you mentioned, then penetrate instead of just a kick, it's a penetrate, kick, swing. Usually leads to a shot that's more open, or also leads to another driving opportunity because the defense is still rotating. Instead of them being in the paint, now they're trying to scramble, which would be a good time to reattack the paint. So those are some things that we emphasize through our dribble drive.
You mentioned the shot selection presentation again. That's also on the Coach's Edge membership. So if you're curious about how we intertwine, and the shot selection piece is huge. You talk about there's a rating system, there's a scale for each shot. And not just having it as a coaching staff, but teaching your players the system is pretty cool. And I know you've shared on previous podcasts of like you being on the bench and somebody takes a shot and then your players next to on the bench or like rating the shot saying, oh, that one was a five or that one was a seven, or get really fired up if it was a good shot, even if it didn't go in, and praising the right shots instead of just praising did it go in or not, I think is huge for us, right? We're praising the process more than praising the result. I think that's a big one. And that presentation does a great job of doing that. What are some of the maybe mistakes that you've made running dribble drive over the years, and then some of the tweaks that you've made to it?
Mistakes that we've made. One, you mentioned it, shot selection. I don't think we were good with shot selection in last year. And just really emphasizing that scale and what we wanted. And, then like I said, it starts to click when the guys start seeing, oh, better shots we get, the more points we're gonna score. Being unselfish, pointing, thanking the passer. So that's one thing. Not a mistake, but something I just didn't emphasize as much is just playing off a two in the paint. Especially, we didn't have a lot of size. So this is something we, even this season, we had to show them film, and we still, it was a work in progress all season. And when we did it, I was like, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. And it was, and my assistant coach usually would, you know, clip it up. He does a great job. It was like, we didn't have a lot of size. So we're trying to challenge, and this guy doesn't sound tall, but it's trying to challenge a 6'3" or 6 foot guy at the rim. But we're like, we're 5'7", we're 5'10". So we would say like, that's tough. So we would pause it, like, what do you see right now on film? And they'd be like, oh, I see the dump off. I see the kick out. And like, okay, yeah. And then we'd show a clip where we get into the paint. We play off a two. We don't challenge, you know, this their other big who has some length, and we don't. And we dump it off for a layup. Or we kick it out, and it's a swing. And then they got to recover, and we beat the help from the other side. So that would be something that, you know, as a coach that I feel like, you know, I didn't do a good job emphasizing, not necessarily a mistake, didn't do a good job emphasizing enough is, you know, playing off a two, understanding that, you know, you can't just, you know, attack, and you got a 3 foot contested shot's tough. I mean, you almost would rather have, you know, a shot for a 3-pointer on the outside that's open. So just, you know, showing them through game film with that. Some tweaks, I would say, like, pairing it up and flowing it in with your transition, like, how does that work? What does that look like to you? Are you a team that's going to get out and run, which most I feel dribble drives, you know, you kind of want, they go hand in hand. So that'd be one, is like flowing into your transition and making them seamless, the best you can. But with that being said, also not being afraid to run some actions that necessarily don't have like a dribble drive, you know, and where the word I'm looking for, not an action, but the dribble drive concepts right away. So like Princeton action, and then let it flow into your dribble drive. So we'd run some Princeton action or some curl action where you pass, you screen away, that guy curls, you replace. And then we would say like, all right, as soon as there's an attack dribble, then we're back to dribble drive principles. So we're running this, but if we get a long closeout and the guy doesn't shoot it and he drives it, we're right into it. But like setting up some sort of action that allows you to gain a small advantage and then attack into your dribble drive instead of just kind of combing against a set defense, give them a different look, basically. All right. We've been passing, cutting through, trying to drive off of the cutter's butt, off of the blur cut. They're switching it. They're doing this. They're doing that. Let's get a little screening action going on here and using that.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned that because, and maybe I'm just more novice with the dribble drive, but it seems like a lot of the dribble drive, and you know, watch teams that run dribble drive, like it's kind of predictable in how they get into it. And so what you're talking about is you're adding different pieces to it. And then, okay, once we're in an attacking position, this is dribble drive. Like it almost takes care of itself from that point. But using different locations on the court, like I said, adding some Princeton in, right? A lot of that high post work really does a great job of, okay, let's create an advantage. And then as soon as that action is, that advantage is created, we're going into our dribble drive because that kind of takes care of, you know, everything that we wanted to take care of. Is there any other actions that you've used to flow into your dribble drive?
You know, I thought our best one was kind of that Princeton or pass and, you know, curl screen. And then we're trying to get like a long closeout for, you know, we got either a shot or then they're closing out, which is a long closeout. It's going to be tough. Then we'd also run like some staggers, you know, they call it like motion strong. Like Coach Donovan runs similar offense, and he shared some stuff with me where you pass it and then we kind of stagger away and that guy can curl off of the first one, curl off of the second one. There's a couple different actions off of that. Especially if you got a shooter that might draw attention, and then, you know, the defense doesn't communicate well enough, and either somebody's open or you get them scrambling, and again, you're getting them into a closeout situation where then you can use your shot or your drive to kind of attack the paint. And we mess around with a little, just some down screening action too, like simple, where we'd hit the high post, and Michigan State used to run this, and they put like Tum-Tum, they'd put different guys at that high post, a good passer, Draymond, and they'd hit the high post, and then the two guards that are in the slots just come down, and then the other two guys down screen for them. But they can either down screen or they can bounce back. And then we pass out of it. And again, we're trying to create a closeout. We look for a slip. And then out of that, you know, we're attacking. So something to, you know, to add some screening action, because that is one thing that I would say, not a flaw, but a weakness of a dribble drive. And you can, there's different ways to run it, which sure. I've seen multiple ways, but there's the basis of it. There's not a lot of screening, not a lot right. of screens going on. So if you want to throw a little different look at the defense, those are a couple ways we did.
Especially so many teams, I mean, if teams don't switch, right, they're late, they're too early, they're kind of guessing on helping, you could take advantage. But also, like, you could use some of those screening actions to create the switch that you want. And then by the time you're in dribble drive, that player that has the switch is able to take advantage of it, beat their player off the dribble, maybe draw a second defender. Now that's a kick out. Now the defense is in rotation. Whereas without, you know, there's not, teams aren't switching a lot defensively against a team that runs dribble drive, but you're causing some of that because of the things that you were just talking about with some of those off ball screen actions. That's a really good one. Did you feel like this was hard for your players to adopt when you say, hey, we're running dribble drive, but hey, we're also going to sprinkle in some of these different rotations? Do they pick it up pretty quick? I'm just thinking, if I'm trying to run dribble drive, but also trying to filter in other actions for my high school team, you know, is this easier said than done, so to speak?
Not necessarily. Like I alluded to earlier and we talked about, you have skilled players. So the nice part about dribble drive is you can rep in practice, in four-man workouts, you can rep skills that are the principles of the dribble drive motion. So you're working on two things at once. You're working on your skills, whether it's finishing, whether it's, you know, gaining an advantage and severing the angle of the defender recovering, whether it's reading drive and kick, or, you know, should I go backdoor? All those things, you know, you're teaching them how to play basketball, and not only you're building skill, you're building, you know, the offense within itself. So I don't think it's necessarily difficult. Like I said, you have skill, and then, you know, your younger levels, it helps if they run something very similar, which we run a lot of read and react, especially in middle school. And that's what we're kind of going towards, because they're similar principles, and the read and react overall is teaching them how to play basketball, pass, cut. And then you have different options out of it. And I thought our middle school coaches did a good job this year with it. And even the group that was on varsity, you know, there when they were freshmen and they were junior varsity players, they ran some of the read and react. And I think that really translated well, because they're similar. You know, the read and react will call, you know, blur screen a draft drive where I cut. Yeah, I pass to you, Coach Kramer, and I cut, and you kind of cut, drive right off my butt. That in read and react is called the draft drive, you know, maybe called the blur screen. So there's just a couple small differences between them. But the more you can have continuity within your program, obviously, the better.
Mm-hmm. We recently started doing a couple drills with our third through sixth graders, working on one because we don't have enough hoops sometimes. I just put a bunch of cones out. And I had one ball and put a few players. I said, all you have to do, pass, call the name of the kid you're passing to, run to a new cone. And the rule for the pass was you can't pass it directly to a person next to you. And I put them in the middle. They could throw a skip pass. They could throw it like a down the line pass. They couldn't pass it to the person right next to them. And one, they had fun. But two, I was like, boy, this is going to be so easy now when we get a chance to just head back to the baskets and pick some common locations throughout the court that we want to consistently be in and get them used to passing, cutting, right? Fill in different spots. And they had a lot of fun with it. And then the other one that you mentioned already was playing off 2 feet in the paint. And we've been doing one where it's a dribble handoff just to get the one. I highly recommend dribble handoffs at the youth level. So we work a lot of dribble handoffs at the top of the key. Kids dribble up from the baseline. Handoff at the top of the key, kid with the basketball drives hard to the basket, let's say around the block. We work on a stride stop pickup. Okay. Person that handed it off, say you handed it off to me. Now you're filling behind my drive, because I'm telling the kids, we're like, all right, sometimes you're going to drive. We want to get to 2 feet. Sometimes you're not going to have the shot. We're going to work on that shot fake. Then we're going to pivot away. Now I kick it out to you, and then you can take a shot. You could drive and score. Something like that, just that kickback, right? But that doesn't happen if we play off 1 foot. And I think that myself included, I can get 2 feet. What are our finishes off 2 feet? What are our finishes off 2 feet? One of the main reasons to play off 2 feet is you got the option to kick it out, right? And teaching our kids to move without the basketball, headlights, taillights, right? Somebody gets in trouble, kick back. And now the majority of the players that we work with that work with us enough, if I say, hey, show me a kickback, every single one of them will like drive the paint, pivot away from the defense. Somebody will fill behind the driver to kick it back. It like brings a tear to my eye. I'm like, oh my gosh, I love you 9-year-olds. Like this is basic. It's pretty cool, but it's always open. If it is a varsity team, like if you drive hard, there's going to be an open spot behind you because you just left that spot. And two, if you drive hard and you draw extra attention, means you're not going to be able to take the shot, but you keep that pivot. You get that kickback pass. That can be essentially your drive kickback and then do a swing. Somebody gets a shot. Just really good offense. Sorry, that was a little bit of a tangent
No,
by myself,
actually,
but it got me so excited.
when you were talking about that and you were talking about some mistakes, it reminded me of a second mistake or something that I didn't emphasize enough, and I think we did better this year. Is, and it goes with playing off of two, is off of two and then like pivoting. And lots of times we'd had other guys on the perimeter stand and watch. And we called these, I forget who we picked it up from, somebody posted something on Twitter about burn. We call them burn cuts, BURN, meaning you're burning the defense. So on a drive, like you just mentioned, where you drive down there, you stride stop, you pivot back. Now, if you're on the weak side and your defender turns his head, like just cut to the hoop. And we got some
Your
easy
45
buckets
cut.
off of that. Yeah. And we got some easy buckets off of that. Or what that would do would that would collapse the defense, and then a skip out the backside would be open. And then you either got a shot or you got a swing into another drive. But it comes from, it's predicated from playing off of 2 feet and being able to pivot off of that, off of a drive into the paint and attacking that paint. You're almost driving to be a passer, to attack the paint, to look to pass. Because especially when you get to the upper levels, like how often does a guy just drive from the perimeter and get right to the rim? Like, unless you're uber athletic, or
It'd
the
usually be
defense
like
is
a
awful.
second drive in that
Yeah,
possession that would
yeah.
work. Yeah, not the first one. Yeah.
Exactly. And so you got to think in your mind, and sometimes we got to talk to guys about like driving to pass, and you're still eyes on the rim and everything, but you're trying to collapse defense. That's your job. And then, get them in rotation.
Like if you're driving to the block, it could be a slot drive. It could be say a wing drive, even a baseline drive, I suppose. I feel like with most players now, they got down the kick across opposite baseline. I feel like we've been trained enough. Most kids, like they know that's a pass. And then the next one is, okay, that kick back of like, hey, am I disciplined enough to be on balance and on 2 feet that I can get back and pass it to where I came from? And then the next one's your 45 cut or so from that opposite wing. It can be a tough pass. That's something you got to practice, right? Because sometimes you got to make that pass through traffic. But like those being three great passes to work on with your small group workouts this spring and even summer with your players, it's kind of putting them in different spots and different situations and repping out those drives into those passes that you talked about. How many people are doing that, coach? Most of them be like, hey, this is the finish we're going to work on. That's the finish. Here's the threes we're going to shoot. Take the threes. But to work on the actual, like a drive, a pivot, a certain movement from a certain angle, right? And then it could lead to a finish or a specific shot after that. I mean, now you're playing some ball right there. I get excited to think about it.
Yeah, you're basically layering skills on top of each other while teaching them how to play basketball. And to me, and I know you feel very similar, that's how your skill work should be. It needs to somehow transfer over to the game, and it needs to have different variables. If it's the same, we talk about block versus random, and you can do a whole podcast, which you have done a whole podcast on
Yeah,
that, so check it
probably
out.
more than one.
But it's that variability, and that's not even the right word, but being able to make reads depending on where the defense is at, it's just going to help out their skill development. So yeah, you listen to Coach Kramer's podcast about going from one on O to one on one, or one on dummy to one on one, and that'll kind of help. And that's a lot of what the dribble drive is in terms of being able to make reads, and your attacking, and then What do you do when the defense shifts this way or that way? So.
Last question, coach, before we finish it out. Think there's a lot of programs that run dribble drive, right? I mean, this is a very popular offense. And as you said, there's different variations of it. When you see a team run dribble drive, what do you think maybe some of the most common things that hold them back from running it effectively?
Well, and besides the ones that I've mentioned about us, in terms of shot selection, playing off of two, trying to attack some guys with length, because I feel like, those are some of our mistakes. I think one, especially, I feel like it's starting to get better, but like just over dribbling, because it's dribble drive. You want to attack, you want to do that, but like really let the ball move. That's what's gonna the You got to work that basketball in order to create space. Like, does my teammate need space or does he need help? And the ball has to move. It can't stick. And I think that's when it's best. Sometimes when it sticks, it's easier to guard. The defense is set. And I might just be speaking from, our own mistakes as a program. And probably not answering your question that well in terms of what I see other programs do. But I would say that sometimes, just in general, the ball sticks, and what we mentioned, like use the dribble as a weapon. It's not a toy. You don't play around with the dribble. Like it's a weapon. Use it wisely and be dangerous with your dribble. Don't just, waste it. I'm sorry I can't give you a better answer. I know you've watched a lot of film. Is there anything that sticks out to you in terms of what teams could do better with the dribble drive?
I think you touched on many of them. The one that I would reemphasize is spacing. I think that, as I watch it, players will either they'll shrink the court more than they have to, or they'll be very, very stiff instead of finding the slight little window that's open, a little bit up, a little bit down. Really just reading the location of your help side defender, because you may be running dribble drive, but you got a different defender on you every single game, maybe a slightly different philosophy of the opposing team. And so some of that is going to dictate a little bit. Should I be a little more slot? Should I be a little bit more towards the wing? Right. If I have a teammate driving and I'm in a corner, like, should I lift up a tiny, tiny bit? Should I stay home? Right. Just the spacing in general is something that comes to mind. And then everything that you've mentioned already, 100%. I think every coach would tier that at some point as far as their biggest thing, whether it's shot selection, the ball being sticky. And again, as I said in the beginning, I think one of the biggest things that I noticed from you guys this past year was that ball didn't stick. Ball was moving, very unselfish. And that started in transition. You guys, whether it was a steal, a defensive rebound, getting that ball up the court. And then some teams get the ball up the court quickly, but once it gets into half court, then it starts to stick. You guys still did a nice job this year of moving the basketball. Some teams, that's where it gets clogged up. And some teams, the spacing aspect of it, obviously shot selection, settling sometimes instead of really making the defense work. I'm getting repetitive here, so I'll stop talking. But the last question, coach, I wanted to fire back to you. It's something I've been asking to a few of our guests recently on the show. It's a fun one. What's your player comp?
Me personally, oh man, that is a great question. Let me think for a second. It's gotta be.
Yes.
Well, this is tough because I'm thinking like me right now at 37 years old, or me at 18 or 19. Because
Whatever
me
you
at
want.
18 or 19 was just like somebody that played defense. Like it was like Rondo, I'd say, couldn't shoot from the outside. But as you get older, you realize you kind of have to shoot, and you just let it fly in open gyms. So I don't know. Not strong like an Andre Miller, so I don't have that muscle to go in there. But somebody like it'd be like a poor man's Andre Miller, or a lighter weight Andre Miller. I'm trying to think of a point guard. It's not Steve Nash, not quite that.
So you see yourself as like a po like Andre Miller was like backing people down, but still running the point at the same time.
I don't have that back down skills, but I would say similar to that. I'm going to have to get back. So you're going to have to ask me again. This is a phenomenal question.
You have to come back on the show and answer them.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I'm going to be up all night thinking about this.
Yeah, I'm going to get a random text from you now.
found it. Here's some film. It's going to be somebody you've never even heard of, because that's probably who I'm equivalent to.
That's awesome. Thank you for listening to the Coach's Edge podcast. We appreciate you. If you're a listener, you're curious about the dribble drive, reach out to Coach Tro, reach out to myself. We got a full course inside the Coach's Edge membership. We got a presentation on the shot selection piece that you talked about, and much, much more inside. We keep uploading new resources, even some of the drills that I was just explaining. We're putting into the Coach's Edge membership as well. And we certainly appreciate all of our listeners and our Coach's Edge membership. We're not going anywhere. It's been 4 years going strong, and we look forward to what the future holds. Coach Tro, thanks again.
All right, thanks. Always a pleasure.
Get after today.